nationwide. We bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello and a very good evening to you listening to Nationwide with me, Sunny Martin. Today we are going to be looking at the African Development Bank have been providing support to the government and the people of South Sudan in the areas of agriculture, health, basic education, governance, water and sanitation. In February this year, the African Development Bank signed a protocol to disburse $14 million US dollars grant to the government of South Sudan to boost agricultural markets under the project to be implemented by the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization. And also in 2020, the African Development Bank also approved a grant of $4.2 million US dollars to the government of South Sudan towards the COVID-19 response. And the project is also being implemented by WHO here in the country. Joining me this evening to discuss more about this is the African Development Bank country representative or manager, Benedict Kanu. He is here with me already in the studio, and our lines will be open to you later on where you can call and ask your question on 0912062079 or 0912062950. Those are all our lines. You can call and be part of our discussion this evening on Nationwide, coming to live from Juba. Yes, good evening and welcome to Radio Miraya, Kanu.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yes, first of all, can you update us about this $14 million US dollar grant that was given to the government by the African Development Bank as the country manager? Tell us, where are we now with the money?
Yes, we recently received board approval, actually in December 2020, for a grant of $14 million towards agricultural markets, trade, value addition development in this country. The grant agreement was signed recently by myself, the Minister of Finance, and the FAO representative in South Sudan. FAO will be implementing this operation, and it will be supervised by the Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security. In fact, the signing ceremony was witnessed by Honorable Minister Josephine Lagu, who is the Minister of Agriculture. Mm-hmm. Now, we are at a stage whereby any time from now we'll start disbursing this money to FAO so that the activities agreed in a mutually developed work plan can begin to be implemented. And we'll be disbursing it in tranches.
And what are some of these activities and where? In which part of the country will this be implemented? Is it only confined to Juba or to some parts of the country?
Not at all. The project will have three coverage areas. It's going to be implemented in Western Equatoria, Eastern Equatoria, and Jonglei states. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to emphasize that by selecting these three states out of the 10 states, it's not because there is discrimination against the other states.
Mm-hmm. Against the seven.
The remaining seven.
Yeah.
I want to be very, very clear that it is not because we want to discriminate against the other seven. It's because resources are only so much, and you can only do so much with such resources at this time. Obviously, the government of South Sudan has other partners who are also actively supporting the agricultural sector. And I'm convinced they're also emphasizing their support, directing their support to other states apart from these three. So this is the start of a long journey.
Mm-hmm. So who are the beneficiaries?
Well, you see, agriculture, the main players are who? The smallholder farmers, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have also displaced people, returnees, ex-combatants. So these are all the direct, immediate beneficiaries of this support. And they will benefit through a number of initiatives under the program, especially the construction of agricultural markets. As you know yourself, one of the biggest challenges we are facing is people don't know where to sell or do not have enough of a market information system.
Yeah.
So this project intends to not only, first of all, mobilize farmers into groups, what we call agribusiness centers, and target such groups with technology, target them with advisory services, target them with the ability to reach markets in a more organized manner through construction of markets in these three districts of coverage.
Yes, and
states.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
So how will these three states share this 14 million?
Well, it is depending dependent on the activities approved and the categories of expenditure. There will be civil works. There will be advisory services. There will be technology transfer. So in each state where you construct a market, they will share it in the sense that they will have access to a more organized, modern market, a more modern market with water and sanitation facilities.
Yeah.
They will have access to market information because people don't know where to sell.
Yeah.
Or they don't know how much the cost of their produce will be. This project will provide for all of this. So through these activities that have already been approved under the project, State A, say Central Equatoria, will benefit by means of a market, by means of the market being equipped, and value addition. Of course, I did not talk about the issue of value addition. Value addition is a very important aspect of agribusiness because it enables these farmers to be able to store their produce a bit longer.
Yeah.
And therefore be able to acquire better prices at the appropriate time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they will benefit from it.
Yeah, like for example, during rainy season.
Exactly.
Okay, now these city states, let us take for example Jonglei State. Are these activities equally distributed across these three states, or each state can come up with their own activities and to be managed by who in the state? Is it the Minister of Agriculture in the state, or UNFAO will direct the money through their channel they have been using? Because I'm sure they already have a established channel of communication.
Okay. Let me start with the second part. The disbursement of the project funds is shortly going to be made to FAO.
Mm-hmm.
Directly to FAO, and FAO will implement. Well, it will implement under the supervision, direct supervision of the Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security
and the
Ministry
level.
Of Trade, both at the center and at the decentralized level.
Yeah.
Okay. So, in fact, when we were launching the project recently, the governor of Eastern Equatoria was here.
Yeah.
There are representatives from Central Equatoria. The deputy governor was there. The Minister of Agriculture was there. The first undersecretary in the Ministry of Trade was there. And so on and so forth. So they are aware. And there was also representation from the office of the governor of Jonglei State.
Mm-hmm.
So at the decentralized level, they are aware of the roles and responsibilities of each to be implemented with the overall guidance of the Ministry of Agriculture through FAO and the decentralized structures.
Okay. Now, I wanted to make more clarification to our listeners who are listening to you, more especially in these three states of Western Equatoria, Eastern Equatoria, and Jonglei State. There are potential farmers in these three states who might be asking, how can I benefit, or how can we as an organized group of farmers in these three states benefit from this money? What will be the criteria for selecting them?
Good. Well, that's where the leadership at the decentralized level, at the state level, comes in. Because they know the state better than anybody, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good. So let's leave Central Equatoria. Let's go far to Jonglei.
Mm-hmm.
So the governor of the state of Jonglei and his or her administration will now work with FAO and the Ministry of Agriculture to prioritize these farmers you are talking about. They know them. They are groups of farmers. They exist. In certain cases, the groups of farmers don't exist. They try to mobilize them together so they can work together. Because it's better to work as a group, to target resources, to target facilities, to target technology, than to deal with one farmer at a time.
Mm-hmm. So, we know very well that South Sudan spends millions of dollars annually to import food. Can this grant change this narrative and improve food security in the country?
You see, every journey starts with a small step.
Mm-hmm.
This is $14 million. South Sudan spends by my estimates, over $200 million annually to import food, mostly from Kenya and Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
Yet South Sudan can feed itself, and it can even export to these two countries. So essentially, I would not say the $14 million will solve the problem.
Yeah.
No, I will not say that. But I can tell you it's the beginning of steps that should lead to bigger things. The relationship between the African Development Bank and the government of South Sudan goes back to 2012. When South Sudan became a member of the African Development Bank, and we have stood by the government and people of South Sudan since then. So $14 million is a start, but there will be more coming.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and back to the markets. Roughly in the activities that has been designed, how many markets are to be constructed within this 14 million? Any idea?
We are still finalizing the details with the leadership at the state level.
Yeah.
You know, but we estimate what we've been discussing is that each state will, as part of their contribution to the project, will provide land for the project.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Say like Central Equatoria. We already spoke with the deputy governor, and she is working on it to ensure that there is land allocated somewhere, suitable land for the construction of this market. Now, we are going to try to go beyond Konyo-Konyo, because Konyo-Konyo is a challenge.
Yeah,
it's they know it very well. Yeah. It's a very, very big challenge, especially today with the COVID pandemic. Konyo-Konyo is not the answer. You need something better than Konyo-Konyo. So that's where we're going.
So the idea is to design a market in Juba here, for example, better than Konyo-Konyo in a very standard way.
Exactly. And not only better than Konyo-Konyo in terms of maintenance. Remember, the markets are maintained by these states, isn't it? Good. So we want to make sure that the provision of water and sanitation facilities, storage facilities, agro-processing facilities are also addressed for each of the states.
Yeah. Yes, some people, I know, like you mentioned, it's not going to be enough for everybody in the country, but some people really put a very strong argument forward. You should have selected Awil, because you know Awil have this rice scheme. You should have taken, for example, Upper Nile because of rank. Why did you opt for these three states?
Well, I want to assure you that the African Development Bank did not just sit on its own and design this project. Please be reassured. We consulted extensively with the leaderships of the ministries concerned. Okay? And we did not spend a month to design this project. We spent close to a year to design it, talking, holding meetings, discussing with the leaderships of these ministries, both here at the center and at the decentralized level. So let me just reassure you that indeed the selection of the three states is not because we want to discriminate against other states.
Yeah.
It is because, in fact, we have already first engaged the concerned government entities, and we said, since this is the beginning, let us start here. I'm aware of the fact that the states you just mentioned, the three states you just mentioned, are very big agricultural producing areas. But again, this is the first step. There will be another opportunity.
So they have to wait for the second round in case.
In case.
Yes. One of the issues, you know, money always comes with a lot of temptation, and has the African Development Bank, you would want really to ensure that this money is utilized for the purpose. What role will African Development Bank play in monitoring the fund for the proper accountability and the transparency?
You see, first of all, we are disbursing, like I said initially, directly to the account of the FAO.
Yeah.
Every tranche. And we are disbursing on the basis of a work plan and budget that has been approved by the Ministry of Finance, by the Ministry of Agriculture and the Ministry of Trade and Industry.
Yeah.
Together with FAO. So FAO is not going to be left on its own to just agree to a certain work plan. No, the government is on top of business also here. So imagine the work plan for the first tranche, for the first maybe 1 year or so, for the first 6 months, is about, say, $1 million, $2 million. That $1 million, $2 million would have been approved jointly by FAO representative Mr. Meshack Malo, by Honorable Josephine Lagu, who is the Minister of Agriculture, and then the Minister of Trade and Industry, which are the core government beneficiaries when it comes to institutions. So going back to the question, how do we ensure that these funds are safeguarded? Of course, we will ensure they are not taken away to buy other things.
Yeah.
That's out of the question. Because we'll hold FAO responsible to account for these funds to the last dollar. And that's what we are disbursing to them. They will have to come back. They get audited. They provide us with audit reports after each disbursement and utilization of the funds before new funds are disbursed.
Okay. So how many phases have we divided this money into?
It is hard to say, but I can tell you that we have 5 years for the project life. So you can say five disbursements or four disbursements.
Okay.
Okay.
So the project is going to last for 5 years.
Yes.
Okay. Beginning from
This year.
2021.
Any time from now, the first disbursement will be released. As a matter of fact, we have already received the application from FAO to disburse the funds.
Let me go back again to this question of to what extent can the locally organized group or groups like the farmers union, for example, in Eastern Equatoria, how will they benefit?
The farmers unions you just mentioned are very important players and their potential beneficiaries. How will they benefit? Their job is even easier because they're organized already, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
They're already a group. So these are the groups who, at the decentralized level, at the state level, these are the groups that will receive priorities and their members. All right? They will be targeted through agribusiness aggregation centers. And these agribusiness aggregation centers are used to accumulate, to aggregate produce. Imagine I produce 1 kg, you produce another kg, the other woman produces 3 kgs.
Mm-hmm.
So we bring all this produce, it becomes 3 + 2, 5 kgs, aggregated into one business center. It is easier to market that way and determine price rather than everybody selling on their own.
Yeah.
So that's the whole idea, and that's why the farmers union as a group are even better off. So their job is to contact the state authorities at its decentralized level, and the FAO offices at the decentralized level, and to express their interest.
Mm-hmm. So some people will argue, Benedict, that why did you opt for FAO, not the government? Because the Minister of Agriculture knows their people better than FAO, UN FAO.
Yeah. I want to assure you that we are not bypassing the government in any way.
Mm.
The government is the most important partner in this process, in fact. So the grant is actually approved for the government. I want to make that very, very clear. It was not approved for FAO.
Yeah.
It was approved for the government. Okay?
But good. Not managed by the government.
Yes, I'm coming. It is. In the sense that while FAO, which is mandated as the Global Food and Agricultural Organization by the UN, it has a global mandate. The Ministry of Agriculture, for instance, and the Ministry of Trade have a supervisory role over FAO, if you want. So they are not being bypassed.
Mm-hmm.
They are bringing in checks and balances to FAO. No, things are not done like this. No, this is how it should be done. So they do have a role. It's only that because of the complexity of the operation, the complexity of the project, we think that as we help to build the capacity of the ministries concerned, i.e. the Ministry of Agriculture and Trade and Industry, and so on and so forth, we think that for now, let us give the responsibility to speed up implementation to FAO as these two ministries stand as goalkeepers,
yeah.
If you want. They are the referees.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes. If you have just joined us right now, you are listening to Nationwide with me, Sunny Martin. My guest this evening is the country manager of the African Development Bank here in Juba, Benedict Kanu, is here. We are discussing more about the $14 million grant to the government of South Sudan to boost agricultural markets under a project to be implemented by the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization. And that's what we are looking at. And like I've heard from him, if you are in a group or the farmers union group in Western Equatoria, Eastern Equatoria, and the Jungle State, you stand to benefit from this money. And this project is going to last for 5 years. Beginning from 2021, and it's going to be the funding is managed by the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization with supervisory role by the Ministry of Trade and also the Ministry of Agriculture. You can call us and ask your question to the country manager of African Development Bank on 0912062079 or 0912062950. Those are all our lines. You can call and be part of our discussion right here. Yes, we understand that the African Development Bank and the World Health Organization are embarking on the second phase of the Public Health Emergency Operation Center in Juba. Any update on that?
Yes. Again, the African Development Bank is standing by the government and people of South Sudan. It recognizes the challenges faced by the government, particularly the Ministry of Health, in grappling with the COVID-19 pandemic,
mm-hmm.
because of the challenges in the health architecture of South Sudan. As a result, in June 2020, the Board of Directors of the African Development Bank approved a grant of $4.2 million to support the government's National COVID-19 Response Plan implementation. As part of those resources, we are using about $290,000 to finance the second phase of the public health emergency operation center here in Juba.
Mm-hmm.
Now, about 2 months, I think, ago, we went there with the Minister for Agriculture, the Minister for Health, and the Undersecretary for Health and other dignitaries under senior officials of the Ministry of Health, and we launched that second phase, which is financed by us. Okay? Now, we expect the second phase to be completed in the next 1 to 2 months maximum.
Mm-hmm.
And we, the $290,000, which is part of the $4.2 million grant, will not only construct the second phase of the health, the public health emergency operation center in Juba, but we'll also provide it with office furniture and related health equipment, medical equipment.
Okay. All this to be centered here in Juba, right?
Yes, just down the road by the roundabout there.
Yeah.
You know, near the John Garang center there.
Why are most of the activities centered here in Juba?
No. It's only the public health emergency operation center.
Yeah, that's why don't you take one to Wau or Malakal?
Well, you see, first let me comfort you a little bit.
Yeah.
That the rest of the money, 90% or so, is going to the, not only to Juba, but is going to the other states.
Yeah.
To take care of health workers. To take care of, first of all, what is the project about? The project is designed to help South Sudan address the challenges of COVID. How? By building robust health systems and promoting emergency preparedness. Now, this takes so many ways. Frontline health workers, infrastructure, equipment, preventive reagents, and so on and so forth. And not only for Juba, but for other states.
Mm-hmm. So, apart from these two other projects you have talked about so far, what other activities is the African Development Bank embarking on in South Sudan this fiscal year?
Well, let me, before I come to this fiscal year, let's not lose what we are doing right now, which is also a very, very important matter in this country.
Correct.
It has to do with non-oil revenue mobilization and accountability. There is something called a government entity called the National Revenue Authority.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you know where it is, near Blue House.
Yeah.
Now, if you go there, you'll see the logos of the African Development Bank on the building. Now, it's not by mistake that they're there. The African Development Bank paid for the construction of that building.
Mm-hmm.
Good. It's also supporting the National Oil Revenue Mobilization effort by providing technical assistance to the headquarters, as a matter of fact. And then that in itself is helping to diversify South Sudan's economy away from dependence from oil to non-oil revenue mobilization.
Mm.
You know, South Sudan is one of the most oil-dependent countries in the world. Now, let me come back to the question now. Which other operations are we involved in for this year? Now, we are expecting... We're expecting to go to design another operation towards the end of this year, all being well, which will boost youth enterprise development as well as help to build capacity in about 7 entities. One, the economic cluster, which is championed by Vice President Dr. James Wanyiga. The youth and gender cluster, which is championed by Vice President Madam Rebecca Nyandeng. The infrastructure cluster, which is championed by Vice President Tabande Ngai, and the Ministry of Finance and Planning itself, headed by Honorable Atiang Atiang, the Ministry of Labour, and the Ministry of Public Service, in addition to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, which is headed by Honorable Beatrice Kamisa Wani.
Mm.
So this is the other operation that we're in the process of designing in close consultation with the government.
Right. Yes, our lines are now open. You can call us on 091-206-2079 or 091-206-2950. Those are all our lines, and you can call, ask your question about this $14 million grant to the government of South Sudan to boost agricultural markets and a project to be implemented by the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization in 3 states. And this is going to boost food security in the country. Hello, Redimira. Hello.
Hello, hello, yeah. Sunny Martin.
Yes.
Yes, you are connected with Jimmy Duarte.
Go ahead with the question.
Yeah, thank you. I welcome the guest in the studio, and I appreciate his presentation. I would like to begin by saying this donation should not start today only. People have been donating all this time. And later on, people are giving this donation to those who just group themselves and they are not agriculturalists, and they are given that fund without monitoring given to make sure these people are they really using that money the way that this money was made for or not. What can you do as the person concerned to make sure this money is given to those who are going to utilize and monitored by you? This is one. Number two, later on, maybe some of you will be threatened by some government official by saying, oh, we are agriculturalists, and they threaten you to give that money to them. Later on, they use that money with a different purpose. What can you do to such sin accountability is not granted in South Sudan?
Okay, thank you so much, James Dior from Juba here. Hello, Redmira.
Hello.
Yes, your name?
Wilson Mayer here in Juba.
Okay, Wilson Mayer, go ahead.
Thank you very much. I would want actually to thank my brother from African Development Bank for the more explanation he's done to we, the listeners of Radio Miraya. I would want to ask him about the African Development Bank's priorities when it comes to education in South Sudan, because from very beginning, before money was donated by African Development Bank in the field of education in the country, the schools in the country are going to reopen on the 3rd of next month. What are the plans? What are the supports of African Development Bank towards education in South Sudan? And number three, I would want to know from my brother, because when African Development Bank selected only two states in one region, and then
three
one
states.
State, and left another one region without selecting one state to benefit for the funds that was donated by African Development Bank. Why do they do that? When it comes to actually democracy, that one is unfair. When it comes to rights of other states in South Sudan, other regions,
all right,
they are supposed to select one.
All
what
right.
is the reason behind this?
Yeah. Thank you so much, Wilson Mayer from Juba here. Yes, Benedict.
Yes, I would like to thank the two callers.
Yeah.
I will start with the last caller. I want to assure the caller that we are not biased. We have consulted with the government extensively before determining where to start. This is just the beginning of a journey. And the resources available are limited. $14 million is a drop in the bucket. You cannot go and choose all 10 states
for
$40 million. You need to be able to make impact. So you start small and grow. Even the kids at home, they start to crawl first before they walk. They just don't get up and walk. It's a small process. So let me assure him that we know about his concerns and they're taking into account.
Yeah.
That's one first point. The second point is he is talking about education.
Support, yeah.
Education. In 2019, I signed a grant agreement myself with the then Minister of Finance, Honorable Salvatore Garang, and the UNICEF representative for $17.7 million in support of basic education.
In the country?
In the country. And this is being implemented by UNICEF and executed, supervised by the Ministry of General Education and Instructions. Now, but you know what happened the whole of last year? There was COVID, isn't
yeah.
it? And we still have these challenges. Schools have been closed over and over and over. What is this $17.7 million grant intended to do? It is intended to build education infrastructure, rehabilitate those schools, you know them, those
yeah.
schools which have been destroyed or which never existed, and make sure the kids stop sitting under trees, mango trees, to go to school. This is partly largely what we are going to do under that support to basic education. In addition, we help to train the instructors, the teachers, so that they can be better equipped to deliver education to these kids.
Quality education.
Exactly.
Yes, James from Juba here.
Then finally, there's the first caller who was very concerned that some government officials might intimidate us and we give the money to people who are not.
They might even organize their own group and say these are the farmers.
Yes, you see, I want to comfort that caller again. To the best of my knowledge, I don't know of any evidence that this government can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I am not aware. And I want to assure him
maybe because you don't live in the communities.
But I live in the country. I've lived in this country for over a year and I interact at very high levels and at very low levels.
Mm.
So I want to assure him not to be angry, that I am sure this government that we all serve will not form groups and ask me or ask FAO to give money to just groups.
Mm.
And to people who are not involved in agriculture.
Okay.
Tell him we have criteria, we are going to work by the criteria.
Okay. I hope, James Dior, this does not sound like a diplomatic answer to you. You can call us again on 0912-0624-2079 or 0912-0629-50 and ask your question about this 14 million grant that has been given to support agriculture in South Sudan. And if you have got any question, please do call us and ask your question to the country manager of the African Development Bank, who is here with me in the studio. And also you can send us a short SMS on 0 9296932 05. That's our SMS number. You can send us a short SMS and I will be reading some of them as they come in right away.
Antum tastami'una ila Radio Miraya.
Yes, 101 is the radio you're listening to right now. 0912062079 and ask your question right here. Hello, Radio Miraya. Yes, let's go and find out more. We also understand that the African Development Bank is expected to hold a high-level dialogue on Feeding Africa 2021, aimed at a strengthening food system in Africa. And it's also said to be designed to identify ways to expand activities, financing, and partnership to further leverage technology and innovation for transformation of agriculture in Africa. What is expected for South Sudan in this dialogue?
Thank you. Let me also give you comfort that the Honorable Minister of Agriculture and Food Security, Honorable Josephine Lagoon, has already confirmed her participation in this event. I also want to assure you that the Honorable Minister for Animal Resources and Fishery, Honorable Onyoti, has also confirmed his participation in this event. So it's a very serious matter. Now, the President Salva Kiir has also been invited to participate. Now, we are waiting for confirmation from his office. Now, what is in it? What is it all about? You see, most African countries tend to take agriculture as business as usual. It is not. Agriculture is a business. Agriculture is a money-making entity. Agriculture can make you a millionaire if done well. But one of the challenges that African agriculture faces is technology and innovation, inadequate technology and innovation. So this high-level dialogue is intended to foster broad-based partnerships amongst governments, the private sector, multilateral development banks, bilateral institutions, philanthropic organizations, NGOs, to foster that partnership such that significantly additional resources can be mobilized to support the platform of technology and innovation and apply it to agriculture to make agriculture perform better.
Mm-hmm.
We are looking at the end of the event, we are looking at going forward, looking at investments to the tune of $1 billion in support of technology and innovation to be applied into African agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
We're also looking at a $500 million regional research and development fund for the same purpose. How will South Sudan benefit from it? I just mentioned the numbers.
Yeah.
But South Sudan has flag bearers for agriculture. I just mentioned two of them.
Yeah.
One is the Minister for Agriculture and Forestry. Two is the Minister for Animal Resources. These are the technical flag bearers. So they too will be sitting in that meeting and making their case. That, as you know, and as I know, South Sudan is not feeding itself. yet South Sudan can feed itself. So we need resources, we need technology, better technology to apply to our agricultural practices so we can produce more per acre. And not only for crop production, but for livestock and fishery.
So when will this happen, the meeting?
On the 29th and the 30th of April.
Online, right?
Online, yes.
Online.
Yes, they will participate online because of COVID.
Yeah, of COVID, yeah. Okay. Yes, you can call us right now on 091-206-2079 and ask your question right here to my guest here in our studio. Or you can also send us a short SMS on 092-96-93-205 is our number. You can call or you can also send SMS so that I can be reading. Some of them has the coming right here. Before our lines are open, what is your general assessment? You have done a lot of contribution grants to this country. What is your general assessment of the project that the African Development Bank have been financing in this country so far?
We have currently a portfolio of $131 million, active portfolio of ongoing projects, including some of those I just mentioned.
Mm.
The portfolio rating is satisfactory according to our guidelines. Portfolio performance is satisfactory.
Mm-hmm.
The disbursement rate of this is 42%. So we are doing quite well.
Mm.
And I must assure you that one reason why we are doing quite well is the physical presence of the bank's office, the reopening of the bank's office, which took place about a year and a half ago. The bank's office was not closed, but its staff were deployed to Nairobi because of the previous security situations. But then we returned about a year and ago, and our physical presence and the fact that my role as a country manager, I'm engaged in so much dialogue and networking, both at the government level, at the level of other development partners, at the private sector, and what I'm doing right now is part of the networking. I think all of these have assisted in making sure that the portfolio performance is satisfactory. And where there are problems, we try to spot them early and address them.
Yes, some of the questions coming in here. We have a couple of SMS coming in here with a lot of questions. First of all is, what did the partners do? First of all, he says we have a lot of challenges, the insecurity in the country and all this, and there are always some risk factors that should be taken into account in terms of doing business. Have you considered this given our fragile situation in the country? That's coming from Johnson in Juba here.
Yes. You see, in designing these projects, we are required, the bank requires that risks and potential risks are identified, mitigation measures are included in the design of the project.
Mm.
You mentioned political risk.
Yeah.
Yes, we are aware of it. We're aware of it. But of course, we make sure that you don't, when you realize there is a county or state where there is ongoing fighting, for instance, or skirmishes, you try to make sure you don't put project activities there for now.
Mm-hmm.
Not because you don't want to, but because you want to make sure such risks are minimized.
Yes, and another question from Johnson in Ye River County of Central Equatoria State says, first of all, what has been put in place to ensure that this funding does not only end at the state capital but go down to the Bomas?
Well, let us agree that we have the leadership of the state, isn't it?
Mm.
At the governor level and so on and so forth, and down to the Bomas. We also have to give them a chance to play a role in determining how the rollout takes place right down to the Bomas. But we are aware of his or her concerns, and we are working closely with FAO, and we will work closely with the state leadership.
Yes, this is coming in from Charles from Western Baragaza State. I have been having the idea of forming a cooperation of getting a loan through any other means in the country. But now I don't have access, but we have this organized group in WOW. How can people from this kind of region empower ourselves and become self-reliant?
You see, the future of this country, of South Sudan, and many other African countries, is in agribusiness. It's not in oil, it's not in diamonds, it's not in gold, it's not in iron ore, it's not in bauxite, it's not in copper. Because these resources can run out. The future is in agribusiness, sustainable agribusiness.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the caller, I mean, who just asked that question, has asked a very important point, made a very important point. First, the fact that they are organized in groups makes things better. Second is these organized farmers should be able to get access to resources through commercial banks, because I'm sure they're not asking for much money.
Mm.
For instance, this caller who just asked the question can access the cooperative bank. There is cooperative bank here in South Sudan. They have an office in Juba. I don't know if they have offices outside Juba.
Mm.
They are very interested in groups, in organized groups. Okay, now that they are organized, that's already one advantage. And I'm sure they are doing something bit by bit.
Mm.
So that is a plus. So I encourage them to go via commercial banks and target these commercial banks for the small, small amounts that they may need.
Okay. Jacob Adela Leo from Kwajok, Warab State, is asking, many donors, apart from African Development Bank, you might have had so many donation grants have been given to this country since 2005 up to date. And many of these projects that was given this grant to support have never materialized. What lesson have you learned from this to ensure that this project does not fail?
Well, I want to disagree with the caller a little bit towards the end of his statement or her statement that the projects have never materialized. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
That's really not true. It's not accurate. You see, the operating environment from 2005 has not been a perfect environment, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, because of political insecurity, civil insecurity, and so on and so forth. So the operating environment has been challenging, of course. So some projects did not work. Some projects did not even start. They designed the project, but they could not start them. So that's one reason. But I think it would be inaccurate to say projects have all failed.
Mm.
No, it's not accurate. Some of these projects have worked.
But because the citizens have not felt the impact of these projects.
Well, some, they would have felt some, honestly. Mm. Let me tell you very briefly, let me speak about our own projects, not about any other development partners' projects, because I don't have that mandate.
Yeah.
Let's go back to non-oil revenue and mobilization and accountability. Because of the role we have played, working closely with the government is busy mobilizing revenues that they never mobilized before from taxes. That's one. Two, let's go to water and sanitation. I did not talk about this before, but we are active in the water and sanitation sector to the tune of $25 million.
Okay.
Mostly grant. And this is being implemented by the South Sudan Urban Water Corporation.
Why? Here in Juba?
Here in Juba.
Mm-hmm.
South Sudan Urban Water Corporation. If you look around Jebel Market,
mm-hmm.
if you look around Konyokonyo Market, if you go to the roundabout of near the University of Juba, you'll see metallic tanks, silver metallic tanks, big ones, being erected there.
Yeah.
We are behind that. The pipes to connect to those tanks are already in.
So where are the pipes coming from? Direct from the river?
Fine. The pipes for to connect the water to those tanks
mm-hmm.
are already where? In Mombasa, on their way to Juba.
Yeah.
And by the time you know it, give it another 5, 6, 7 months, those pipes would have been connected and you'll have water to be able to use, potable water.
Mm-hmm.
So it's processing the water through water processing plants, and then water reticulation systems and water reservoirs like the tanks that I've just talked about to enable you and me in Juba for now.
So people are asking this question, more especially the one of roundabout in the University of Juba. How will people get the water?
No, well,
that's the main question people are asking. I was passing by, I saw some people asking this question, how do I get the water?
Yes.
They were asking, why are you putting it around the University of Juba, yet we have more population living in Gudele?
We're on it. You see, people have to agree that every journey starts with small steps.
Yeah.
We're on it. The three I've mentioned are just three. There are other locations in Juba where you'll see these tanks. You'll see them in the populated areas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And therefore, they should be comforted that at the end of the day, not everybody will get access.
Yeah.
We have to accept that. Because 25 million is not much. It's not. Pipes, tanks, manpower, and so on and so forth.
So when do we see this project ending?
Actually, there are two projects. Both of them amount to about $25 million. One should be ending in the next 2 years, I think. And another one should be ending in the next 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, if you give 2 years maximum, you should be able to benefit from this water. It takes time to develop. Development is not a one-day business.
Yeah. So we are coming to the end of our discussion on how I wish you have enough time. What is your final comment to our listeners listening to you? And how? What vision is the African Development Bank having, more especially towards this project you have embarked on, the 5 years project on this agriculture, using the 14 million grant?
South Sudan's future. And I want your listeners to listen very carefully to this, especially the South Sudanese.
Mm.
South Sudan's future lies in agribusiness, not in oil. I repeat, South Sudan's future, the economic future, the growth of this country, and the inclusive growth of this country lies in agribusiness development, not in oil. Oil can be used to support agribusiness, but dependency on oil is not strategic, because oil is a finite resource. It will run out at some point.
Mm.
And we know what has happened recently. The price of oil has dropped.
Yeah.
And that has implications for the windfall that the government has been getting over the past several years. So that's my last question. That's my last feedback to your listeners.
Thank you so much, Benedict Kanu, for coming. We appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome. Thanks for having me.
And that was the country manager of the African Development Bank in South Sudan, Benedict Kanu, and he was talking about the 14 million grant to the government of South Sudan to boost agricultural market under a project to be implemented by the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization. And the news will be coming next at the top of the hour. Join my colleague Helen Toby after the news for the second hour of Nationwide. My name is Annie Martin. Stay tuned to the news, which is coming next.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Miraya.